Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here. Another episode, Jug Life Podcast. I'm joined, as always, in nature by mountainous Max Montana.
Oh, okay. The working out's been paying off, I guess.
I just meant because we're in nature.
Oh, okay.
Well. Not so much of the mountainous muscles.
But you could have used the word meadows.
Yeah. I don't know that that's descriptive of you at all.
Yeah.
Do you get how these nicknames work?
I'm not sure. Montana is actually French for mountain, I believe. So there you go. And you learned something today.
All right. That was our episode. That's all our goal is, to teach you something. All right. So been a while. We've been a bit inconsistent. Apologies for that. But in the process of recording several episodes right now. So you'll get to see more of this, some of that, over the next few weeks. What we want to talk to you about today is recapping a little bit of the recently passed Pan Am Championships for weightlifting, as well as updating you on the, hopefully the IOC is not listening to this, road to the Olympics. and trying to explain to you the complex process of how one qualifies to do the snatch and clean and jerk at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020. So let's just hop right into to Pan Am recap. And the first person who lifted at Pan Am's, guess what? It was Richie, Alisa Lin. And she kicked ass. Coached by Max, Alisa had her best meet ever, 190 total. Pan Am and American records in the clean and jerk and total. What'd she win by? 6, 7 kilos?
6 kilos.
6 kilos, which 6 kilos for tiny little women, that's a insurmountable.
It's like
gap.
12 kilos for a person twice as big.
Yeah. 6 for 6. I mean, it was, you know, PR snatch, PR clean and jerk, PR total. Fantastic day. So, Coach, give us a quick thoughts on.
It was a super solid competition. I mean, it was we went in and executed everything flawlessly. I mean, it was a perfect on weight. She weighed 49.00 on the dot at the time she weighed in, made all 6 lifts, PRs, personal records for her all across the board. You know, her best meat snatch before this was 80. She did 83. Best clean and jerk was 105, but she did 107. Which she'd never even tried before in training, which was great. So super, super successful from that standpoint.
And from the floor, she didn't want to wait from the blocks.
Yeah, she didn't want to wait from the blocks. Yeah, she never even tried it from the floor. But just really, really successful overall. We had a plan. We stuck to it. We executed everything as best we could, and it came out perfect, you know?
And Alisa really ended up just setting the tone for what I have to think is as a whole, Team USA's best international meet ever.
Yeah, it's got to be their best ever, because we had, I think, a total of 51 records broken across all lifters. We were like the women's team cleaned house. They had medalists in every single session.
I think every women's lifter won at least one medal.
Yeah, it was like it was as if we'd went to like an SPF powerlifting meet. Like everyone was medaling. There was just records flying around, but.
But they were real.
They're real.
So then that's why it wasn't like an SPF powerlifting meet.
But super solid. I mean, like, everyone was making lifts. That was the big deal. You had, I don't know how many 5 for 6 or 6 for 6 performances, but unheard of. I mean, 10 years ago, the last 50 years, we haven't had performances like that.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan De La Cruz in the 55s continued to lift excellent, as she has been. She tied her American record in the snatch, broke the clean and jerk record, broke the total record, won gold. Then Maddie Sasser, I don't know if she broke American records.
No, the clean and jerk may have been a record. Yeah,
129 at 64. I mean, that's pretty damn strong.
It's a big number, yeah.
She won gold. Then in the 71s, you know, probably the most anticipated. Really fun to watch battle between Kate Nye, formerly Kate Vibert, Kate Nybert, and Maddie Rogers, in which Kate got the best of her there for, I think, the first time.
Yeah.
And broke American record snatch and total in the process.
Yeah.
Senior and junior and all kind of...
Pretty much everything she touched was a record.
Yeah, every lift she did was either junior or senior, Pan Am or American record.
Yeah.
Robles lifted well. Jenny Arthur won some medals.
Yep. Yeah, everyone across the board was lifting to the best of their ability.
Yeah, and the men's side as well. CJ Cummings was incredible. Wes Kitz, huge lifts for him. 223 clean and jerk.
Yeah.
Kane lifted very well.
Yeah. Kaiser Witt improved on his world's numbers. So, I mean, overall, like, the whole team came up. And I think primarily because it was, like, for one, the bigger reason, we set the tone. But for one, it was just, like, this huge event.
We don't know that that's not the reason.
Yeah, that's true. I can't disprove it. So, it's the sort of, like, this is the end game now, where you basically have to have all your shit together to make points for the Olympics. And if anyone went to this meet and didn't perform, it was kind of, not said, but basically it's over. You know, if you can't make points at this meet, Worlds, the gold meets, you're out. So
yeah. So now we're gonna get into how you qualify for the Olympics. And this Pan Ams was a hugely important part of that. So there's a lot of information we're about to throw at you here. You might need to take notes. We probably need some sort of, telestrator to be drawing these things on. But follow along the best you can, and hopefully, in 30 minutes or so, you have a better idea of how someone makes the Olympics and what the U.S. Olympic teams could potentially look like.
Yeah.
So Pan Ams was so significant because it is a gold-level IWF meet. For someone to qualify for the Olympics, in the 18-month qualification period, so basically starting with 2018 Worlds, going through 2020...
Pan Ams.
Yeah, 2020 Continental Championships, but for the U.S.'s case, Pan Ams, they need to lift in 6 IWF meets. There are gold meets, Continental Championships, like Pan Ams, Asian Games, European Championships, and World Championships. Those are gold. Then there's silver-level meets, like Pan Am Games and others.
Whatever random open meets that exist.
And then there are bronze meets, which are still international-level meets, stuff like Qatar Cup, different Grand Prix kind of things. And some of that gold and silver is a pretty arbitrary distinction, it seems like.
Yeah.
So they have to do how many gold? How many?
You have to do at least one gold and one silver meet. So you have to have at least one of those under your belt. I can't remember exactly. It may be 2 gold meets, but you definitely have to attend those type of meets. You can't just do all bronze meets.
And the strictness and abundance of meets that are being required is an effort by the IWF to be able to drug test the athletes more often. Previously when countries could kind of just say, like, these are the people who are going to go to the Olympics for us, they didn't have to put them into too many competitions where they could be reached by, WADA officials for drug testing. So now they know that they're going to get them at least 6 times. They can get some tests done. People can get caught before they get to the Olympics. So at the Olympics or in the 8 years following the Olympics, we don't have a bunch of positives, whether, in regular time or retroactively, and then the IOC gets mad and kicks weightlifting out. So this is all part of weightlifting's effort to, I think, clean up the sport and stay in the Olympics as a result of cleaning up that sport. So all these meets and why gold, silver, and bronze is significant is in the pursuit of a magical, like a golden coin that Sonic the Hedgehog would get.
Sonic had about 8,000 Robies, I think.
Yeah. When they're all out there like Super Mario, bumping their heads on bricks, looking for the magical Robie points. And Robie points are the replacement for Sinclair, essentially. They're based on world records, but the world records, because of all new weight classes, are based on
magic.
Yeah. They're kind of like percentages of the world record. So if you set the world record, you'd get 1,000 Roby points, right?
Yeah. So if you have,
or you set what was equal to the world record standard,
right? So so new weight classes created new standards, new standards in every weight class. From that number, they find some formula to create Roby points. And then, you know, the amount you lift relative to the world record is given to you in Roby points, right? It's kind of like, I feel like it's like airline miles. Think of it like airline miles, you know, if you...
No one can fucking understand.
Right, you don't really know how many it is, but, like, you know that, like, a trip from here to, like, Las Vegas is, like, 65,000 airline points.
Yeah, well, a trip from here to the Tokyo 2020 platform is probably about 5,600 Roby points.
Yeah, pretty accurate.
Yeah, so... For example, Alyssa totaled 190 kilos in the 49-kilo class at Pan Am's, which is a gold-level IWF meet. For gold-level meets, you get 10% extra Roby points. Yeah. For silver-level meets, 5% extra Roby points. And bronze meets, no percent extra Roby points. So that's why Pan Am's was that much more significant, right? Because the people lifting there had the chance to get 10% higher on their Roby scores, and put themselves that much further along in earning those potential four spots for Team USA. So Alyssa totaled 190. She got 882 Roby points for that total with her 10% multiplier. So back to you get four spots. There are four potential spots for countries who don't have over a certain number of drug tests in the past however many years. So for the U.S., we can have potentially four men and four women on the Olympic team. It's a big change from the way that the qualifying worked in previous Olympics, where it was your country earned a certain number of spots based on world championship team performances. Now it's much more about the individual, and the country kind of only comes into play in terms of not having too many positive drug tests that you get docked spots. So there's some countries, you know, with 3-3, 2-2, 1-1. Some countries that don't get to send anyone.
Thailand. There's the one change they made recently too to the Roby system is that originally the plan was there's world standards. The Robys are based off those world standards. As soon as the world record is broken in a weight class, the next qualifying period. So let's say at World Championships 2018, you break the world record, and you go from a 203 total in the 49s to a 210 total in the 49s, the next qualifying period, all the Roby points would be based off of that world record. They did away with that system, apparently because Thailand can't, you know, they can't keep their hands off grandpa's cough medicine. And so they end up in a place where now all of these numbers stay the static for the entire quad. So there's no real jockeying around of the Roby points. Your Robys are worth the same. There's no Roby inflation. Your Robys are worth the same now as they were when you earned them 4 years earlier, or 3 years, or 18 months earlier.
Yeah. So as we said, you could have potentially four, the U.S. can have potentially four men and four women go. But to be eligible for one of those four spots, you must either be ranked in the top eight in the world, in your weight class, with cumulative amount of Roby points.
Yes, total Roby points.
Yeah, and you can see these rankings if you go to the IWF Net website. They're not updated as of today with Pan Am results in them. Otherwise, we'd be able to give you a little bit more information. But as far as the U.S. is concerned, it is very likely that we send a full women's team, that we have four women who are either ranked in the top eight in the world in their weight class or are continental champion, and that doesn't sound like what it actually is.
Yeah, so
because we had several women just become the actual continental champion by winning the continental championship for Pan Am's. That's our weightlifting continent. In fact, being the continental champion means...
It just means that you are the highest ranked in your continental division outside of people that are already ranked in the top eight. So you'd have to be in, if you're like in 10th place, but you're continental champion, you would move into eligibility for the Olympics.
Yeah. So then sort of the last big thing to know about how the qualifying works, or for this part, is that each country can only send one lifter per weight class. So for the U.S., for example, and I think we'll get into to this specific discussion, I think the people, the women you need to know about in regards to Olympic qualifying for the U.S. are Alyssa Ritchie in the 49 kilo class, Jordan De La Cruz in the 55s, Maddie Sasser in 64s. In the 76 kilo class, though not all competing there necessarily, because remember there's 10 weight classes in weightlifting now, but only 7 that compete at the Olympics. Right. Competing for the 76 kilo spot is Kate Nye, Maddie Rogers, and Jenny Arthur, all fighting for that one eligible spot in the 76s, and Sarah Robles. I would be shocked if someone was to qualify outside of that group of women.
Yeah, it'd be a stretch.
That's who's fighting for the spot. So there's Alyssa, Jordan, Sasser, 376s. There's 7 women fighting for 4 potential spots, but 3 of those are really going for one spot, for the one same spot. I'm assuming that one of them is going to be end up in the top 4. Or top 4 of US women.
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, that every single woman listed ends up in the top 8 in the world by Roby or as continental champion. Not a totally unlikely scenario. Probably one of the 76 girls wouldn't be in this, but very possible that 6 or 7 U.S. women could be eligible for the Olympics, for those 4 spots. Then it will come down to...
It'll come down to who is ranked highest in their weight class. Now, when it was explained to me, it was mentioned, the words were used, highest in their weight class by Robies, but I believe it's actually highest in their weight class by ranking. And the reason is, if we compare...
By Roby ranking?
Well, because Robies would mean that if you had 5,000 Roby points in the 49s, but you're ranked 6th place, whereas somebody else is ranked 5th place, but with 4,000 Robies, which would be a really unlikely scenario, but I believe it is by highest ranking in the weight class by placing.
So where another wrench gets thrown into this whole idea is this Olympic classes and non-Olympic classes.
Yeah.
At Pan Am's, Kate Nye and Maddie Rogers competed in the 71 kilo class, which is not going to be at the Olympics. There's no 71s. 64s to 76s. That's the jump. So Jenny Arthur competed in the 76s. So they all, they lifted what they lifted and earned their Roby points in their specific class relative to that class's world records.
Yes.
But they will all be actually competing, trying to get that spot at 76. So for people who can compete in non-Olympic classes, and like Jenny lifted at Worlds last year in the 81s, which is also not an Olympic class, 64, 76, 87, then they're earning Roby points outside of the Olympic weight class. How does that work?
So when you earn points in a different weight class, those points still count towards the class you're going to enter. You have to do at least 2 meets at the weight class you're competing in at the Olympics. So if Jenny's going to compete as a 76 at the Olympics, she'd have to have accomplished at least 2 international meets within the qualifying period as a 76 kilo lifter, as will any one of these lifters that are... We actually haven't had... I don't know if we've had anyone compete as a 76 internationally at a gold level meet yet.
Yeah, Jenny was 76 at Pan Am's.
Right, sorry, yeah. So Jenny's the only one right now so far who's done a gold level meet as a 76. And obviously you can imagine the strategy that's going to come about being able to be in one weight class or the other and getting more Roby points because your total, an equal total at 71 versus 76 is going to score more points at a 71.
Yeah. But with that being said, Kate and I out-totaled Jenny from 70, lifting as a 71 when Jenny was lifting as a 76.
Listening makes us smarter, more connected people, makes us better partners, parents, and leaders, and there's no better place to start listening than Audible. Audible is where so many inspiring voices and compelling stories open listeners up to new experiences and ways of thinking. Audible members now get more than ever before. Members choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, plus 2 Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. I'm particularly excited about the release of Arrange by David Epstein coming later this May. Members also have unlimited access to more than 100 audio-guided fitness and meditation programs. Audible delivers bestsellers,
business, self-improvement, memoirs, and more, all professionally narrated by actors, authors, and motivational superstars like Rachel Hollis, David Goggins, and Mel Robbins. Maybe they should add Chad Wesley Smith to that list because of my silky smooth voice. Audible members can also get free access to the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post delivered daily to the Audible app. With the convenient app, members can access Audible anytime at the gym, while commuting, on the go, on any device, will always pick up right where they left off. Audible also offers free and easy audiobook exchanges, credits you can roll over for a year, and a library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Explore all the ways listening on Audible can help improve mind, body, and soul with entertainment, information, and inspiration. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Get your first audiobook plus two Audible originals for free. Visit audible.com/juglife or text juglife to 500-500. That's audible.com/juglife or text juglife to 500-500 and start listening with a 30-day Audible trial and your first audiobook plus two Audible originals for free.
So, a lot of moving parts here. I know we're throwing a lot of numbers at you. The other piece that comes into play here is because of each country only being allowed to have one lifter per weight class, there are some weight classes that are stacked for certain countries. Well, there's every weight class is stacked for China. China, by Roby points, currently has 10 of the top 14 women's lifters in the world by Roby. And they're in several different weight classes, but only four of those women are going to get to go lift. So in Alyssa's weight class, for example, the 49-kilo class, which is obviously the one that we are most, Max and I are most interested in, by current total ranking, and the reason I'm talking about total right now, even though it is all about Roby's, is that some women have three meets already, some have two. Alyssa's only listed with one of her meets here because they haven't updated the list with the Pan Am results yet. So we could go down this list and it goes China, Thailand, North Korea, China, India, Romania. That's the current top eight without any of these other considerations being made. First off, let's take out the people who have tested positive. Thailand, yowt. All right? So right away, two of those Thai lifters have tested positive. They're not going to go to the Olympics. Thailand doesn't get to send anyone to the Olympics because everyone tests positive. So right away, the 9 and 10 spots, Japan and Dominican Republic, as the list is right now, which is not totally updated, but Japan and Dominican Republic would move up two spots. So now we've got three Chinese lifters still in the top eight, but only one can be sent per weight class. So now two Chinese lifters get taken out, possibly all three, depending on if China decided not to send anyone from the 49s. Because they have so many lifters with gold medal potential, there's going to be someone from China who could win the gold medal, probably several people, who don't go to the Olympics. They're going to take their ones who are the most sure thing for gold medals. So they could, and they're going to have to declare that at some date before the Olympics. Like, all the countries are going to know this is who the other country is sending. Yeah. So the ranking will be totally updated before the Olympics. So let's assume that China sends their top 49-kilo class lifter. Very, very likely that they will. Totaling 210 at 49, doing like 94, 116.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to send her. But their other two lifters ranked in the top eight, they can't send them. So they're out too. So the next two people from the list get moved up.
So it just keeps changing, right? It keeps getting bumped different, bumping people up, right?
Yeah. So just by total, with Alyssa's 190 total, and they don't have that updated on the list, with if we left everyone in, everyone who's either tested positive or isn't actually going to be eligible because they're ranked too low in their own country, Alyssa would be tied for eighth here. But once we remove the Thailand, two Thailand positives and two China ineligible, then Alyssa's moving what? All the way up to fifth.
Yeah.
Fifth or tied for fourth. So you can go on the IWF website. You can look at these lists. It's even as confusing as all of this is, it's even more confusing right now because some people have three meets, some people have two, some people have one.
Right. it's a really funny scenario because what you're looking at is what's going to happen is as time goes on, the countries that are going to have a hard time struggling to keep up with the way they did things in the past with doping are going to start falling off more and more. And the list is probably going to change itself even more radically, where you might have had people at the very beginning of this 18 months qualifying with big totals. Now those totals are coming down more and more. And without naming countries or whatever, you're just going to start seeing this list kind of dissolving and changing as time goes on. So it's really, it's all over the place. It's a really interesting scenario because you have to see who's going to send who to the weight class, you know. Is China going to send all their people in these classes? Are they going to put them in here? Are they going to put them in the 49s? Are they going to put them in the 64s? Whatever it is. Then any more drug positives that could come out of it can limit people on what classes they're going to take. It's almost kind of strange because a lot of it seems like it's dependent on other countries doing, you know, making certain decisions. You could get bumped down the list by one spot if a country decides to send, you know, they're one guy in the 85s who happened to get, you know, enough of a total to put himself there, or the 89s or whatever it is now, and then, or 81, sorry. And then, you know, it's you're moving around, right? So it really depends on what every country's going to do, who they're going to put in each class in the sense that who they want a guaranteed medal from before we know exactly what the list breaks down to. Obviously, as Worlds comes around, especially on the U.S. side, as Worlds comes around, any people that don't perform there, at least to the same standard they have at other meets, then they're going to move down that list of being in that top four. So it's going to be a really, like every single lift counts so much because one mistake, one missed lift, one wrong call, and you might drop down one spot, which makes you, you know, one spot out of, you know, contention means your bands will be a mile away from the Olympics. So it's a different ball game now.
Clarify one thing for me if you can. With the non-Olympic to Olympic classes, let's say that Kate Nye ends up ranked third at 71 by her Roby points or whatever. Mm-hmm. They just transfer those Robies 100% of them.
I believe that's what I was told, and I would need more clarification from Phil or from the IWF board, but I believe that you just get your Roby points transferred 1-to-1 from the other class. So if you're in the 71s, you've got a pretty solid deal going because you're going to score lots of points in a lighter weight class and then move into it. And with the added, not that it matters so much because the classes are based off world record, but the competition is going to get less and less stiff in those 71s or whatever class, non-Olympic classes, because no one's going to be in them as you get closer to the Olympics. People are going to need to gain the weight they need to go up or lose the weight to go down, whatever it is, they're gonna move out of those classes. So it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. That rule, that may change, I may be mistaken, where they just take your totals from those and move them to 76, but I believe it's by Roby.
Yeah, I could see some controversy arising from that.
Yeah, very much.
If that's the case. So I know we threw a lot of numbers at you, a lot of moving parts. I think a good way to think of this the whole process is that every one of these gold meets, so you know, last year's Worlds, Pan Ams that just passed, upcoming Worlds, and then the following Pan Ams, are like a checkpoint.
Yeah.
You know, there's other small checkpoints in between, but these are the big checkpoints. So it's like you're playing like a racing video game, and you have to get through this checkpoint in under a certain time. And if you aren't fast enough to get to that checkpoint in time, you're not doing well enough in the race, then you're out of the race. And while people are not effectively out of the race right now, if you didn't make huge lifts at Pan Ams, you're that much farther behind and would have to make that much bigger of lifts at Worlds well, first you got to make sure you make worlds and then make the bigger lifts there to kind of catch up. So it becomes that much more difficult. Because, especially on the women's side, so many, you know, really all of the truly contending U.S. women made big lifts, everyone's still in that race. I'm hesitant to say, like, if the Olympics happened, if this was already the end of the qualifying period, I don't know, even know that we could tell you who would be those four.
Yeah, it'd be tough to know exactly who's going, right? It would come down to exactly what other countries are sending.
For sure. So like we said, for the women's side, we have four potential spots that's almost definitely going to be filled by some combination of Alyssa Ritchie, Jordan De La Cruz, Maddie Sasser, Kate Nye, Maddie Rogers, or Jenny Arthur. Think of them, that's like three, those three are in their own competition for that one spot, plus competing against all the other women to be in the, to get one of the four spots, and Sarah Robles. So it's going to be a battle, you know. On the men's side, CJ Cummings is, as long as he stays healthy and doesn't bomb out of multiple meets, he's in. Harrison Morris missed Pan Ams with an injury, but the juniors also have a real advantage in this process. Right. They have more opportunities for gold meets because
junior wild card.
Yeah, junior worlds. is a gold meet, and obviously senior lifters can't lift at junior worlds, but junior lifters can lift at senior worlds and senior Pan Ams. So he's got a chance to get back in there for sure. So I'd say CJ is definitely in. Harrison, if he's healthy, just left his coach, so he's, you know, got some stuff going on, but if Harrison lifts as Harrison has for the last 2 years, he's in.
Yeah.
Wes Kitz, great performance at Pan Ams. Did himself some big favors there for sure. I think he's ranked like 12th-ish in that weight class right now. Very, very competitive weight class. I'm not sure about all the people ahead of him, if their countries are eligible to send, you know, four lifters, three lifters, two lifters, any lifters. So he's undoubtedly going to move up a couple spots just because of that other countries will have to select someone else. So he's got, if he keeps lifting the way he did at Pan Ams, he's going to have a really good shot.
Yep.
I'm not sure that there are four potential men for the U.S. who could get in by either being top eight in the world in their weight class or continental champion.
Yeah, you'd have to be... It'd be tough to say exactly who might have another shot. There's obviously everybody has outside chances if they make, you know, more bunch of progress and people don't go, but the men's side is a lot less. There's a big drop off after those top three, four guys there, and then it kind of comes down for them. I think you'd be looking at the supers just because they're generally lighter in there. The depth isn't there, so getting in the top eight's a lot easier. And so Kane and Kaiser might be battling it out as the meets go on, I guess. See what happens there.
Yeah, and I think particularly with the 109s and the supers, a lot of those countries have a lot of sanctions.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of those countries are limited to sending one or two lifters per gender. So.
They like to party.
Yeah, if they've got a great 109, they're going to send the 109 and no super or vice versa, and that's going to help, you know, either help Wes or help Kane. So we'll see how all of that goes. Hopefully you are less confused now about how one can qualify for the Olympics. I gave you the men and women for the U.S. to watch, the ones who you really need to be following along with, I think, to... We've got the most realistic chances. Again, people could make big PRs and injuries and all that kind of stuff happen as well. But barring some sort of unforeseen circumstances, those are probably the groups we're dealing with. A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
A lot of moving parts to do it. It's but you know, the U.S. weightlifting has got to be as excited as they've been coming off that Pan Am performance. For each individual and the team as a whole, Yeah, on the women's side, I think it's realistic that there's going to be multiple U.S. women contending for world and Olympic medals.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's something that could have never been said before, maybe since the advent of women's weightlifting.
Yeah. I would say USA Weightlifting is probably more excited now than they've ever been post Joe Doobie 1969 Worlds. Not as excited as he was at Worlds, but as excited as it was to see him there.
So hopefully you know a little bit more about how to qualify for the Olympics. You can be a bit more informed when watching the upcoming World Championships, which are where?
They are in Thailand. Thailand. How ironic. Well, they willingly, first time ever I think this happened, they willingly withdrew themselves from international competition so that they would be allowed to continue to host the games. I think the pressure was, I think once everyone on your team has failed the test, you're kind of like, you just throw in the towel and you say, all right, you got us, guys.
Their female super test positive as well?
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, after the first six, they just stopped testing and they were like, come on, just tell us. Save us the money.
Yeah. So that's how you qualify for the Olympics, we think.
There's always a question marks and asterisks. And who knows? Maybe the IWF decides to just change the rules and
it does seem to be a bit of a dynamic process.
Who knows? There's no more wild cards or anything given out as far as I know, so it's all the people that are in it right now are in it. That's the way it goes.
All right. Max, where can they follow you?
You can find me on Instagram, max_Ada, or on Facebook, or email me, max@jtsstrength.com.
And if you're interested in online coaching, we've got that. We've got the AI coaching for powerlifting and powerbuilding, working on the AI programs for weightlifting and super total, but still have the club and one-on-one coaching available currently. You can find all that at jtsstrength.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. Write us something funny or nice. Subscribe to the YouTube. All that good stuff. We've got books, seminars, all kind of things. At Juggernaut Training and at Chad Wesley Smith on Instagram and Facebook. Follow along and you can find out about all that good stuff. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next time.